from the Mercy Live Up Studio. Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith. Welcome to Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good Tuesday morning from the Mercy Live Up Studio in West Des Moines. I'm Deacon Mike Mano, and welcome to Faith on Trial, where we examine the influence of law and society on people of faith. Joining us today for a discussion of the felony charges filed against David DeLayden, the undercover journalist who exposed the Planned Parenthood sale of baby parts, will be one of his attorneys, Matthew Heffron of the Thomas More Society. And don't forget, now we have a new text line, so if you have a comment or question during the program, you can text us at 515-223-1150. Good morning, Gina. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine.
I love this new text line, by the way. I have to tell our listeners a big thanks for texting in some of their questions.
They have.
Mm-hmm. Things that we need to repeat, so thanks
and
for keeping us on our
toes. Sometimes we get the texts kind of late in the program, and we answer them after the program.
We do, and watch our Facebook page. Yeah. We'll be happy to update information there.
And on the text line today, if you text to us the word video, you will get back a link to the latest Planned Parenthood video that David DeLayden has done.
I know, but be careful. I have to warn you that it's rather gruesome.
Yeah, but this is what we're fighting.
I know.
This is what we're fighting.
I know, and I'm glad that there are attorneys like Matt Heffron and videographers willing to make those risks.
Right, and what we're going to find out, and we'll talk about this a little bit with Matt, but the sale of these fetal parts is against the law. And yet that's not who they're chasing down.
Yeah,
they're not chasing down the people that are doing it. They're chasing
they
down the people that
are... just
rolled
through the stop sign. Deacon Mike, it's not really that. It's a law, but we don't want to
enforce really a law.
It.
But the person who's bringing this up to the public attention, they're the one we're going to go after.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
The tattletale.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, you have a prayer to open us up?
I do.
We need a
Thank
prayer
goodness
today.
Thank goodness we do, yes. To a good Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world, peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of this earth. Turn your way of love to those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Strengthen us in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among the nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. And we should mention, too, in addition to the text line, we have a carathon coming up starting on our day will be April 24th. That's a Tuesday.
Yes.
And we're being extended by 10 minutes. So it will be a 40-minute program that day. And apparently, now it looks like we're going to go.
If it works out, they may give us 40 minutes.
40 minutes. Yeah, yeah. So we'll have a little bit more time for a little bit more of this news. Okay, we've got a couple of things worth mentioning here before we get to Matt. First one is that... In Texas, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit is considering a Mississippi law that protects its citizens against government discrimination based on their view of marriage. The law protects public citizens, public servants, businesses, and religious institutions from governmental reprisal for operating publicly according to their belief that marriage is reserved for one man and one woman. The governor signed the bill back in April. Well,
last year,
last
really.
Year in April.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal district court granted a request to block it. And so the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit is hearing that, and hopefully they'll overturn that block.
So Governor Bryant signed it last year around this time. Mm-hmm. Almost immediately it was blocked by the court systems, and it's still in the court systems.
It's still in the court
systems. A year later, we
a
can't get
later.
That law to go into effect.
Nope. That's kind of the game that's played, you know.
I think that's the theme of our show. I'll mention it again at the end. But there's something going on with the way we use our court system.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We had a guest on here, Roger Severino, who is the director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation, back in July. This past week, President Trump has appointed him director of the Office of Civil Rights for the Department of Health and Human Services. That's a big step forward for us.
For for sensible human beings.
That's
I
right.
think he'll do a nice job of organizing civil rights for individuals in a healthy
and
way.
And protecting the religious freedom of people like the Little Sisters of the Poor that were under attack by the Department of...
That's right. Health and Human Services.
Health and Human Services right. before. All right. And a couple of states have enacted laws protecting religion in schools. In Kentucky, the governor signed a bill that protects the expression of religious and political opinions in public schools and colleges. The law assures that students can voluntarily express religious or political viewpoints in their assignments, bars schools from altering remarks of student speakers, provides equal access for religious organizations, allows students to display religious messages on clothing, allows public school teachers to teach about religion using the Bible or other scripture without providing indoctrination, and to teach about religious holidays in a secular manner. So that is good in
okay.
one case.
Deacon Mike, this was in Kentucky, right?
Right.
Wouldn't those schools have been protected by the Tinker case that was tried many years ago?
Oh, you would think so, but that's not what has been happening.
So they have to specifically write it out in a law.
They have to specifically write that out, yeah, because, again, we've got courts that are just ignoring precedent on some of these things. And, Tinker should be the controlling law on this.
Across the nation.
Across the nation.
Ocean to ocean. Okay.
But what's happening is they're carving out exceptions. And then in Nebraska, there is a bill that was signed that eliminates a ban on teachers wearing religious garb in public schools. And apparently, one of the cases came out of a nun who wore a habit. I forget what she was teaching, but she taught like one class
right.
in a public school. And there's a law barring her from wearing her habit.
Oh, and that would be, I mean, that would affect other scarves for a Muslim woman.
That's right.
And,
mm-hmm.
and other religious faiths that wear specific garmentry.
That's right.
It would protect them also.
That's right. It would protect them all.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So Kentucky
yeah.
and Nebraska, one step forward for
have
religious.
Have taken steps forward.
Right. In
the
terms
religious
of liberties
battle.
Yes,
yeah, right.
Good.
All right. I want to remind everybody that we are on the air courtesy of our underwriters and sponsors. And one of them, of course, is my good friend, Attorney Rick McConville of Coppola McConville, Coppola Care, Hockenberg and Scalise PC, 2100 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 515-453-1055.
We're also, Faith on Trial is also very thankful for the support of Confluence Brewing Company. They're located off the bike trail just south of Grays Lake, 1235 Thomas Beck Road. There's live entertainment every Thursday night, and this week we have Josh Sinclair at 7 p.m. Join them down there.
Very good. And our good friend Robert Cota, Farm Bureau Financial Services, 200 West 2nd Avenue in Indianola, 515-961-4555. All right.
Well, that's great.
That's good.
So
we appreciate all those people.
That's true.
For helping us out here.
Well, I tell you, during this tax season, I run into Robert every once in a while at church, and he's just got a helpful tip almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. He knows what can help
Robert's
you.
Tips.
Robert Cota.
There you
all
go.
All right.
All right.
So we're going to talk about...
We're going to talk about David DeLayden and the mess that he's in now with Matt Heffron, who is his attorney from the Thomas More Society. Matt, how are you?
Real good, Mike.
Thank
good
you
talking
for,
to you again.
Yeah, thank
good
you
morning.
For coming on
good morning.
Again.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you on. But unfortunately, we have you on usually when something is going wrong or there's some pressure someplace in somebody. So let's bring us up to date on what is happening to poor David DeLayden.
Sure. On March 28, we became aware that criminal charges had been filed against David in California for undercover reporting activity out there. Somewhat similar to the case in Texas. We had thought that that since the California Attorney General was running up against some statute of limitations, we thought that they must have seen the fiasco which happened in Texas, where the Harris County attorney was humiliated and ended up dismissing the cases. We thought that the California Attorney General probably had learned its lesson not to step into that.
I don't think so.
I guess they have not, no.
No, see, now, this Attorney General, incidentally, Racka, is that his name? Xavier?
No, it's actually Javier Becerra.
Becerra, okay. All right. Becerra was a former congressman who had a 100% Planned Parenthood voting record while he was in Congress. And I understand Planned Parenthood helped finance his campaign for attorney general. So maybe we know where this is coming from.
Yeah, I think we do. In fact, I read in some account that that Planned Parenthood applauded publicly, made a statement applauding his appointment as the attorney general, appointed actually by Governor Moonbeam himself, Jerry Brown.
The former Jesuit seminarian. Yeah,
Moonbeam. Oh, very funny.
All right, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Go ahead. So,
well, at any rate, they filed charges against him, and each charge is based on a rarely prosecuted section of the California Penal Code, Section 632, which prohibits recording of confidential communications. And there are all sorts of defenses to this. And quite honestly, you have to put this all in context. Of 50 states, plus the District of Columbia, plus the federal government, 40 of those entities require only that one party to the conversation consents to it being recorded. There's a very few, only 12 states in the nation that have some variation of a two-party consent. And, of course, liberal California happens to be one of those, meaning that they have a requirement that both parties to a conversation have to consent to the conversation being recorded.
Sir, we've heard that before.
Yeah. Unfortunately, or I should say fortunately for David, there are defenses for exposing criminal activity. For instance, Section 633.5 says nothing in this Act, 632, prohibits obtaining evidence of a crime of various things, including the felony involving violence against a person and including human trafficking. Well, of course, one of our defenses is going to be this is certainly violence against a person. This is dismemberment of human beings and then trafficking in their parts. So that'll be a key defense for us. There are actually defenses listed in the statute 632 itself. Things like that the state, in this case, will have to prove that the communication was not made at public gatherings or was not made where a person reasonably should expect that the communication would be overheard. Well, we think almost all of the communications listed in this this criminal filing, almost all of them occurred in public places, restaurants, at National Abortion Federation conferences, where a person should have expected they could be overheard. Mm-hmm. So that, along with viewpoint discrimination, First Amendment defense, gives us a pretty good confidence, or high confidence, that we should be able to win this case.
I'm wondering here if any press association, journalist association, has come out in support of your viewpoint, because it seems to me that this would certainly curb a lot of undercover journalism in the state of California if he was convicted of this.
Oh, sure. Hey, Mike, you're hitting all the high points here. This is good stuff. Not only
that's why he does this show. He's very smart. He gets this lawyerly stuff.
Very
sometimes.
Good. This is great irony here, because the L.A. Times came out with an editorial board editorial. I mean, it was their official editorial of the day, saying that they think Javier Becerra, the attorney general, overstepped. It was overly aggressive in doing what he did here, because it does hamper undercover journalism.
And that's a key point. The Los Angeles Times would not normally come out against Planned Parenthood.
No, and in fact, here's another great irony. The fact that the L.A. Times now is coming out with an official editorial saying this is bad news. A year ago, when David Dalyden's house was invaded by law enforcement officers, that was in direct response, at least our opinion, is direct response to another editorial by the L.A. Times, in which editorials there complained that Attorney General then Kamal Harris
would not
do what they had done in Texas. Yeah, now U.S. Senator, also funded by Planned Parenthood, But at that time, it was a very aggressive editorial saying that the California Attorney General should do the same thing that the Harris County Attorney did in Texas, and that is, should prosecute David DeLight. Within 10 days, this is a year ago, within 10 days, Kamala Harris sent in her stormtroopers into David's apartment.
Sir.
So it's great irony now that L.A. Times is flip-flopping, seeing the error of its own ways.
Well, seeing the effect that it would have on themselves, really. As journalists.
Yeah, and you're right. There's no way to explain this except that it's David's work is contrary to the powers that be in California, their particular political views. And that's why I say there's a great First Amendment defense here in that it's not applied except to those people who have disfavored political views.
For exactly.
instance, there's a group a year ago, one of our California attorneys pointed out that there's a group in California called Mercy for Animals. And at the time, this particular attorney in California found that they had put on a on their website a investigation that was done of rather brutal slaughter of goats. And they did it the exact same way that David DeLight did. That
with the video.
Video recordings. Mm-hmm. Undercover, and not only did Attorney General Kamala Harris not prosecute the undercover journalist, she actually applauded their actions officially and then prosecuted the goat slaughterers. So what does that tell you? What's the message?
Well, exactly.
The message Planned Parenthood should have been prosecuted and not David DeLight, but, you know, it's we're in a topsy-turvy world.
It certainly
is. It's a mad world right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say that the Mercy for Animals situation in California indicates that if you are an undercover reporter trying to stop the slaughter of goats, you get applauded and not prosecuted. If you're an undercover reporter trying to stop the slaughter of human babies, you get prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a perfectly good comparison, sure.
And we should remind people that the latest video that David DeLighten put out is available if you text the word video to 515-223-1150. We'll send you that link.
And the interesting thing about that particular video is that when these charges were filed, that within, 24 hours, these new videos became public.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's using a good...
I thought it's great. Again, the irony here is that David is prosecuted on the 28th for recording people who are discussing killing babies by dismembering them and then selling their parts. And on the same day, David releases another video of a doctor calmly discussing the killing of babies. Some of them apparently were delivered outside the womb and then killed.
Well, since we have you on the air, I'd like to talk about that video. I watched a little bit of it and read much more about it because it is a gruesome thing to watch, very hard to watch. So I want to
really
warn
is.
Our listeners. Yeah. But she defends her actions of violating Arizona law. I mean, she specifically laughs at the law. So will there be some prosecution against Dr. Taylor at some point, do you imagine?
No, we don't know. If you base it on what we've seen so far, probably not. Although Arizona is a more conservative state than California, obviously. But one of the other things is that she doesn't state in that video precisely that she's allowed them to be killed. She laughs, though, and says, well, you got to watch who's in the room. The indication is that that's what she does, is she allows those babies, born alive, born intact, to be killed. And then they're at least to die on their own right. And then their parts are much more valuable for human trafficking.
Yeah, because they have a whole baby.
You do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have. Because one of the things that you saw in David's earlier videos that have been released is that when the babies are dismembered, or in Dr. Deborah Nucatola's famous words, crush a little higher, crush a little lower, they do damage to the body parts that these ghouls are trying to traffic. And so if you get an intact baby without digoxin, which is the feticide, the
chemical needed
chemical to kill the baby,
right,
before delivery, if they don't inject it with digoxin, the parts are more valuable for trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's nothing better than to, and I say this, I guess it sounds so ghoulish, but there is nothing better for these traffickers than to deliver a full baby intact, because then they can dismember at their will and get good parts.
And yet, as I recall, that's more risky to the mother to do it that way.
Yeah, well, that I don't really know that. I just don't know. So dismemberment is oftentimes risky to the mother as well. In fact, we see repeatedly so many of these abortion clinics in just recent times have had ambulances come to the door. And women, I see them, the reports come across my screen quite often.
I've seen them too, and usually what happens, depending on the city that it's in, the coroner or the medical examiner is not releasing information, and that's all hush-hush, the cause of death and everything. And a lot of times it's because the abortionist has punctured something he's not supposed to, and the woman ends up bleeding to death.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they try to say that it's a safe procedure, but that's actually in the face of
medicine
of what the
and
facts
science.
Are.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Right.
It's
we
a grisly
kind of
procedure,
that.
No matter how they do it.
I would agree. So, you're the lawyer in this case, and how do you feel it's going to progress? Will we be watching it for a long period of time, or do you think it might be dismissed or part of it be dismissed?
Well, I guess that's hard to predict. And I should clarify, there are a number of lawyers for David Delight and Center for Medical Progress. We have some in California. And then we have, of course, Tom Brekka and Peter Breen out of Chicago, and I'm here in Omaha.
Very nice.
As far as how this will progress, it's hard to say. First thing that has to happen as far as the criminal action is that David has to turn himself in. And I expect that to happen probably within the week. And then there will be an arraignment in San Francisco, and that's just the time when he pleads not guilty, and trial dates or various deadlines for the trial process will be established at that point. There will be a motions deadline, and that deadline, at that time, motions will be filed to dismiss the case for various legal reasoning. You have to take a look at the fact, though, that this case has been indicted in San Francisco. I shouldn't say indicted. It was not before grand jury, but it was filed in San Francisco, perhaps one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country. And that's not a good thing for us because their jury pool is going to be more sympathetic to abortion than, say, Iowa or Nebraska would be.
Sure.
Or Orange County.
In fact, I've got to put a plug in for the place we live. We were actually out there. Tom Breck and I were out there a week ago with David Delight and with the California attorneys working on the case. And at night, Chuck Lemandry, my old law school acquaintance, in fact, took us all out for dinner, and we were watching the sun go down over the Pacific Ocean.
Beautiful.
And one of the young attorneys, as I was describing, you know, how we have sanity here in Nebraska and Iowa, at least more sanity, I was describing how you could be a pro-lifer here and be in the majority. And he turned to me as the sun was setting over his shoulder and said, "Boy, Nebraska sounds like a lovely place to live." I said, "You realize the irony here, right, in this lovely setting that you're in here."
Mm-hmm. Well, the natural beauty, it's offset by the unnatural beauty of philosophy in San Francisco.
Well,
sure.
You know, I spent 4 years in Nebraska at Creighton, so I have a certain affinity toward Nebraska.
The beauty of Nebraska.
The beauty of Nebraska and the Cornhuskers.
Well, I say Nebraska and Iowa. There's a lot of good things happening in both states.
Oh, we're glad to hear that.
Yeah, there are.
So tell us, how is Mr. Delight holding up throughout all of this? I know we keep him in our prayers.
He is an amazing character, and he actually was energized by this news. It's not easy because he is threatened by some excessive criminal penalties.
Yeah, if he's convicted of these things, how long is he looking at in jail?
Well, and that's a hard thing.
I'm sure they won't give him probation.
Yeah, well, and in California, this statute is known as what they call a wobbler. It can be filed either as a misdemeanor or as a felony. And of course, since this is a political trial here, they filed it as a felony, and that means that each conviction could be 3 years, and they can be either consecutively sentenced, meaning one 3 year penalty is completed, the next one starts, or it can be cumulatively at the same time run. And that's up to the judge under concurrent, not cumulative, concurrent, concurrent or consecutive sentences. That's up to the judge. Again, this is a show trial, so this could be a long sentence since there are 14 different counts, different incidences. in California law, if it were all arising out of a single act, several crimes out of a single act, it would be just one sentence. But because these are consecutive incidences, they could be sentenced consecutively.
So legally, they're making this as complicated as possible.
For 42 years here, but that's not likely to happen because it is not.
Well, we should point out that this is in state court too, and the appeal would be through the state court system, and then from there it would go directly to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh, really? That's the progress this case could take if it's not dismissed. Well, we'll pray for a dismissal, and we'll continue to pray for Mr. DeLeiden.
Matt, want to thank you for joining us again today. Yeah, we'll keep you, and we'll keep David and everybody connected with this in our prayers.
Please do, particularly David. Also, keep the Thomas More Society in your prayers as well, because this is obviously straining our finances to take on a new case. But we have taken on we've been involved in each of the DeLeiden cases. In fact, the only national organization to do so.
How can they reach you or support
you? ThomasMoreSociety.org. And if you have it in your hearts to donate, we'd certainly appreciate it.
And we have a link for that on our blog. Today.
Great.
So, all right. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank
you. God bless.
You. See ya. Bye.
All right.
Well, we got a couple of texts, so we'll just remind our listeners, if you're interested in knowing more about this particular case and the newest video by the Center for Medical Progress, just text video, V-I-D-E-O, to our text line, 515-223-1150.
And you'll get that right back. Good.
Yeah,
all right. One last thing before we close. A judge in Oregon has granted the request of somebody named Patch, who's a 27-year-old video game designer, the right to be genderless.
Mm-hmm.
So,
again, about a year ago. So, and it's making waves across the country in terms of the legal system allowing genderless individuals to be requests for genderless individuals to be granted.
This month. March 10th.
Okay.
Yeah, March 10th. Last month, I guess. The court granted general judgment of name and sex change on March 10th. In the same judgment, she was also allowed to change names, becoming monomonous, meaning having only one name instead of a given name and a surname. So there's where we're going. All right. Let's close with our defender's prayer. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen.
And thank you. That's it for today. You can thank you for listening. And as usual, if you have any comments or questions, you can contact me at Deacon Mike at Iowa Catholic Radio. .com. I want to thank our underwriters, Attorney Rick McConville, Confluence Brewing, Robert Cota, our Friendly Farm Bureau Financial Services agent, our guest, Matt Heffern, and all of our people here behind the scenes. Stay tuned now for the Iowa Catholic Radio Rosary, which is next for Faith on Trial. This is your host, Deacon Mike Manna, wishing you a blessed and peaceful week.
Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Manna, is adjourned until next Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Support for Faith on Trial comes from Rick McConville, attorney and counselor at law. Experienced, client-focused legal services based in West Des Moines, Rick McConville offers a wide and varied successful legal practice that has been serving local and national clients for more than four decades. Coppola McConville, Coppola, Carroll, Hockenberg, and Scalise, P.C., 2100 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 515-453-1055, online at csmclaw.com.
Support for Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Manno, is provided by Confluence Brewing Company. Brewed locally and featuring regular, seasonal, and experimental beer that can be found in our tap room and at fine establishments all around the Des Moines Metro. Confluence Brewing Company is located off the bike trail, just south of Grays Lake in Des Moines, and online at confluencebrewing.com. Confluence Brewing Company is a proud supporter of Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio.
strength, stability, service, and Robert Cota. That's what you can count on with Farm Bureau Financial Services. Robert Cota, your Farm Bureau agent in Central Iowa, here to help people like you through all stages of life. He can make it simple to help protect what is most important to you, your family, cars, home, and future. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Robert Cota, 515-961-4555 or online at robert.cota@fbfs.com.
Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company, Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company.
Pray the Iowa Catholic Radio Rosary every morning at 5:30 and 9:30 and evenings at 9:30.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not.